Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I'm your host, Matt Tardio. Today's episode is being sponsored by Yahoo Finance. Unfortunately, I have some very bad news to report on that is coming out of the Gaza Strip as it relates to the IDF troops who are operating there. There's been numerous mass casualty incidents which have taken place in the north and in the south of the Gaza Strip. The two main areas of focus that we're going to be talking about today are Jabalia in the north as well as Rafah down in the south. Now, today, the skies of Israel were filled with helicopters. Medevacs out of the Gaza Strip that came out today, they were all over the dang place, all over social media, all over the news. IDF was just running casualties out of the Gaza Strip. It felt like all day long, and again, coming out of the north and out of the south. So I realize that some of you might be new to this channel to join in. So I'm going to jump over to the map and I'm going to orient you to the Gaza Strip itself and where these particular instances occurred and kind of what led up to this and what you can expect for the future. So this is the Gaza Strip, as most of you know, down in the south. Down in the south over here, this is the area inside Rafah where the IDF has just launched a new set of operations into ground that they have not cleared yet. They're taking their time with it. This is a place that's all over international news where people are upset that the IDF's going in order to get hostages. Yesterday, IDF spokesperson came out and said that they know that there is hostages still inside of Rafah. And I'll remind you that there's 5 U.S. hostages still inside of the Gaza Strip that we have no idea where the heck they're at. The rest of them are being reported as being in Khan Yunis, just to the, you know, like north, northeast of Rafah, right over here, where, you know, Hamas's leader Sinwar is supposed to be hiding, and accompanying with him is supposed to be even more hostages that he is using as human shields. Now, there's other operations that got kicked off this week inside of northern Gaza. Let me zoom in on that area. These are the ones that we're going to be talking about first, coming out of Jabalia. As you can see right here on your map, this is Jabalia, and right there in the middle of it is also a refugee camp. Now, when the IDF originally kicked off this war in the Gaza Strip, the Jabalia refugee camp was one of Hamas's strongholds. They have had videos posted since, I want to say it's like 2005, coming out of a lot of Hamas leadership down at the Jabalia refugee camp. And again, this is no secret to the IDF. This is no secret to the people there. They are out and they are among the people. So in response to Hamas reemerging after the IDF backed out of the Gaza Strip a few weeks back, IDF decided that they had to go back in order to tackle this Hamas threat. Well, last night they got up to the gates of the Jabalia refugee camp. IDF has reported killing over a dozen terrorists inside of the Jabalia refugee camp overnight, in addition to several other successful operations that took place. However, it didn't end there. They continued on. Now, a group of paratroopers or a unit of paratroopers had just moved in there, I want to say it was like 2 days ago, in order to help and assist with the operations. Now, 2 separate attacks we are hearing about coming out of the Jabalia refugee camp. The first one, and I saw it, is a house-borne IED. Now, this is a tactic, right, that we were warned about early on in the conflict, is something the terrorists were using against U.S. troops over inside of Iraq and inside of Afghanistan. However, the Israelis hadn't really encountered any of them in such a scale as what we saw today throughout this entire conflict. But today, again, 2 videos of them have popped off. First one inside of the Jabalia refugee camp. You can see IDF troops entering into a building when the building ends up detonating. Additionally, inside of Jabalia, there was another attack that Hamas or the Al-Qassam brigades are alleging took place inside of Jabalia. And that was a RPG attack against Israeli troops. Now, again, a video of that was published online, and you can see numerous IDF troops leaning against a wall, one of them sitting on top of his rucksack, when that RPG ends up coming in and smacking into them, it kind of cut off there. It didn't go whether, you know, in deeper, whether or not, they launched multiple into these troops or it was just that one where the video cut off, unknown, unclear at this time. I'm going to take you guys back over to the map and we are going to start talking about Rafa where the other instances had occurred. Let me get you guys scooted on down here so we can go take a look at Rafa. Now, when the IDF came in the other day, initially they had secured this airfield-looking space out in the open along with the Rafa border crossing. Earlier this week, they dropped flyers up over to the west of the Saladin Road that connects the Rafa border crossing and pushes up and into the Gaza Strip. Okay, so they remained on this side of it up until about 2 days ago when they crossed over and started conducting clearing operations. From there, we saw the IDF move in. I'm going to zoom in on this area. We saw the IDF move up the Al Aruba Road and essentially secure it so that Hamas is not capable of getting in or out. Excuse me, you can see that they moved up this road in order to secure it. And then the IDF was operating predominantly in this region, going through, clearing out buildings, houses, searching for Hamas, setting up better security, setting up a better perimeter for everything that's taking place. And of note, before we get into the specific incident, right, the IDF has been setting a large staging area, it would appear, down here on this airfield. And at the same time, they have been moving, all right, equipment and humanitarian aid in and through the Rafa border crossing, or excuse me, in through the Kerem Shalom border crossing. Now, at this incident, it got reported that the Kerem Shalom border crossing got targeted with mortar fire. And I'm hearing that there is some casualties that came out of that, but that's totally unconfirmed. Couldn't tell you whether or not casualties actually occurred down there. I think it is less likely, to be perfectly honest with you, but it is within the realm of possibilities based on today, because this next incident I'm about to tell you about appears to be a mortar team that actually knew what the hell they were doing. So it was said that this incident occurred inside of a cemetery, which we can assume had taken place inside of this region, okay? Somewhere inside this region, the IDF was inside of the cemetery and actually digging up what sounded like what was being reported as graves, looking for bodies of some of the hostages that Hamas or the Palestinians, whoever had custody of the body at the time, may have buried inside of that particular cemetery. Whether or not they found him, I don't know. We didn't make it that far, but that had occurred. And I saw reports of that lasting for about 2 hours or so, maybe 3 hours. There's reporting online of the IDF inside the cemetery digging bodies out of there. Unfortunately, we started seeing reporting of a mortar attack that took place against those IDF troops inside of that cemetery. No idea on the number of wounded IDF troops who were out in the open inside that cemetery digging up graves looking for those hostages. Now, people will tell you that the IDF was out there, you know, like skinning people and attempting to steal their organs. No, they weren't. Okay. They were out there looking for bodies of hostages. That's what they were doing because likely they received intel that they were buried there. So they were in there and looking for them. That is all I can tell you about that particular incident at this moment in time. Now I'm going to switch you back over to the map. Everybody, let's just go ahead and get straight to the point. You're going to want to grow your portfolio to deal with the rising cost of inflation. I don't know what you got going on in your life. It could be paying off some of your debt or your mortgage or pretty much anything that is in between you and your financial freedom. And it doesn't matter if you're retired from the military like me or if you have other jobs. You want to be secure in your finances. In order to do that, you got to kind of have everything laid all out in front of you so you can make the appropriate decisions on when to buy and when to sell. Now, wouldn't it be great if you had everything linked kind of down in one little place where you could see your latest and greatest updates on anything to do with your investments, as well as any relevant news that's coming out in relation to your investments? Well, with Yahoo Finance, you can access the news, data, and tools that you need in order to help reach that financial freedom. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or looking for that extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data that you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analysis ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and just so much more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401ks and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors, and it's how Yahoo Finance ensures that you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. For comprehensive financial news analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com. Now that we're back over to the map, I'm going to bring up another situation that again took place in the same general vicinity. It was not reported as to the exact location of where this occurred. However, we do know it occurred in this general vicinity in the eastern portion of Rafah, likely to the west of the Saladin Road, although it could have taken place in several other locations. Again, in a video that I cannot show you on this channel, okay, the Al-Qassam Brigades had actually set up a camera and they were observing the IDF through what we used to call a murder hole or a loophole that they had punched out of the bricks in the building in order to observe the IDF troops. The video then goes away and it shows this Hamas or Al-Qassam Brigade fighter hooking up wires, okay, to a command detonation device. They then detonate the device. Now, standing outside of that building was numerous IDF troops, as well as inside of that building, also numerous IDF troops. The video then cuts away and it goes to, the fighters essentially cruising by and blasting armor with a drive-by RPGing and some sort of tree cover. They also showed another video of them launching mortars as well. So that is the fourth mass casualty incident that we are just now reporting on that all have taken place today inside of the Gaza Strip. So the hospitals right now are overwhelmed. The media, as well as the IDF, has been given an order for a blackout over this entire situation. Obviously, they want to be capable of informing the families before, they end up seeing this on video themselves to go and alert them and let them know what's going on. And I am going to do my best to respect their wishes by not actually putting the videos up here on this channel. And truthfully, I don't feel like promoting their crap, all right? But I am going to tell you about the instances that occurred. Now, if you're asking yourself, why did this occur and how did this occur? It's actually really simple to explain. And give me a moment here and I'm going to talk you through, based on my combat experience and my knowledge, on how these types of instances are actually occurring inside of Rafah and inside of the Gaza Strip just in general. Several weeks ago, when the ceasefire negotiations were supposed to be starting between the IDF and Hamas inside Cairo, they didn't say why, but the IDF actually ended up backing out most of their combat brigades from inside the Gaza Strip when they were operating in Khan Yunis, and it looked like they were about getting ready to go into Rafah. They pulled those combat brigades out. Now, when they did that, it allowed Hamas to re-enter a lot of these areas. Hamas then used the time in order to set up ambush points inside of Rafah and inside of Jabalia as well. I'm going to take you guys back over to the map and zoom in on Rafah just as an example. Okay, so what I'm showing you doesn't necessarily mean that this is where these instances went down. Okay, I'm just throwing that out there. Right. However, once you go into these neighborhoods and you begin to look at them, what you can see, all right, is tightly packed together buildings and things of that nature. Well, there's only so many suitable locations over here for the IDF to move in armor. And there's only going to be so many suitable locations for the infantry troops to maneuver in this space after bombs have been dropped and likely routes that the enemy would assume that they're going to come up that, the IDF is going to want to avoid. So the Hamas side, they're going to be looking, if I was, the IDF, where would I be going and what would I be doing? Can we block roads off? Can we do this? Can we do that? All they have to do at that point is set up numerous different locations and wait for them to come in. So if any of you guys have ever trapped animals in your life or know anything about trapping animals, it is very similar to what I'm about to talk about. You essentially start taking routes, all right, or specific ingress points, and you start cutting them off so that your enemy can only travel down certain ones. And that's likely what we ended up having happen here. Additionally, there's only so many buildings that the IDF is going to end up using, and there's other other ways to go about it as well. What I've seen as an effective tactic on the battlefield is waiting for troops to get near the building you want them to enter, shoot at them so that they seek cover. So you might not necessarily know particularly what building they're going to go to, but you shoot at them so they seek cover in said building and then either detonate your explosives or light it up with other munitions. Now, the Al-Qassam brigades have released other videos as well targeting IDF armor over what appears to be in that open space that I went over with you guys on the map. Let me open that up for you. Now, again, this is just assessing based on the videos, but likely, okay, the situation which I'm about to tell you about had occurred somewhere in this general vicinity just based on the terrain of the videos I was seeing. Again, we have the Kerem Shalom crossing, the airfield push up over to the northwest corner of that. And I believe these videos I'm about to discuss came out of here. While we did talk about numerous mass casualty incidents, it actually looks like there was more that came out of the Gaza Strip today on the IDF side than just those mass casualty incidences that I just reported. The IDF is parking their tanks outside of these tunnel entrances or these tunnel exits that they're digging up and locating inside of Rafah. They're doing that so that they can pull security on them. Only problem is they're not. Okay. And in some of these Al-Qassam Brigade videos, they are coming straight up out the ground, observing the tanks directly in front of them, running out and putting munitions either on the side of the tanks or over behind it. Now, you might think that explosives aren't going to do much to a tank from an outside. However, what the fighters are using is something that's called a shape charge. Now, this is not the exact charge that the Hamas fighters are using. However, it is built pretty much the exact same way, built on explosive theory, and it's been in practice for years, and it does, in fact, work. This is actually what's called a shape charge, okay? You see right here where it says cavity liner, where it goes up and down. All of this, the green stuff, is explosive filler, and then you end up having the detonation that controlled back here at the end, which then pushes the explosive down until it hits here. However, everything continues to detonate on the outside of this charge, which then takes it and compresses the hot gases, enforcing this gigantic stream that ends up coming out of this sucker. And that big explosive stream that's coming out of there is actually what pushes a hole through the armor itself. It's like a big, you know, compressed set of explosive gas, hot air that ends up punching a hole through, you know, pretty much whatever the hell you want it to, for the lack of better terms. Now, before you guys start jumping in the comments section saying, Matt, you don't know what you're talking about, that's not what that is. It's a big copper plate that ends up blasting out. No, that's something completely different. That would be this right here. Okay. This is an explosively formed projectile, which is completely separate from the shape charge itself. Don't get the two confused. This is not what they were using. They were using the shape charges, you know, generally speaking, of the ones I just showed you, which I was able to identify from the video. Now, this one has a massive amount of explosive filler in it. And then you have this really thick copper liner that ends up getting laid right here. Now, that thick copper liner, when it's hit with the explosive charge, then comes out and it forms a basic molten copper slug that ends up penetrating and going through. That's not what they were using. They were using the shape charge just to be, they were using the shape charge just to be clear. So again, all of these incidences have caused a lot of CASAVACs from the Gaza Strip today. It would appear like the military medical facilities are pretty much full up and that they are now flying all of these wounded soldiers into civilian hospitals over inside of Israel proper. The medical teams have been busy as hell these last several hours, actually going over an evac in these casualties and moving them in and out. And I'm telling you, there's quite a few of them. It's just, it's mind numbing to me that this is how it's going down. A lot of people are speculating, saying, well, hey, if you know, the IDF was allowed to do their job before they went in there, this wouldn't have occurred. I kind of disagree with that statement. All right. Because we just don't have enough information to know that right now. The same way I'm not going to condemn every single IDF airstrike, I don't have the appropriate amount of information to say that occurred in that, you know, in that way, that the IDF had their hands tied going in there. The one thing that I will say is that had the IDF not pulled out of the Gaza Strip and they maintained that presence in Jabalia and they maintained their presence in Khan Yunis and they continued their push into Rafah, likely the terrorists that are operating inside those locations would not have the ability to have done what they did today, minus in Rafah, but it would not be nearly as prepared as they are today. Now, according to this article from the Jerusalem Post, the IDF chief of staff told his soldiers that essentially they are going to continue their push inside of the Gaza Strip and they're not going to give up. He said, currently in the process of increasing the pressure in Gaza, we are striking widely and strongly in the north of the Gaza Strip in Jabalia. Well, that's exactly what's happening, ladies and gentlemen. Up along the border of Lebanon and northern Israel, several strikes have taken place across the border into Israel with Hezbollah attacking IDF, radar facilities and things like that up along there. One of the strikes actually looks like they took a couple casualties, but that's unconfirmed at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what I have for you today. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. Please keep yourselves posted. Be out there on the look for updates. We're going live tonight at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, likely with more updates of everything that took place inside the Gaza Strip today. Thank you.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.